Chapter 2. The Heavenly School. God's throne, the center around which circled the worlds which had gone forth from the hand of the Creator, was the school of the universe. The upholder of the worlds was himself the great teacher, and his character, love, was the theme of contemplation. Every lesson was a manifestation of his power. To illustrate the workings of the laws of his nature, this teacher had but to speak, and before the attentive multitudes there stood the living thing. He spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. Angels, and the beings of other worlds in countless numbers, were the students. The course was to extend through eternity. Observations were carried on through limitless space, and included everything from the smallest to the mightiest force, from the formation of the dewdrop to the building of the worlds and the growth of the mind. To finish the course, if such an expression is permissible, meant to reach the perfection of the Creator Himself. To the angelic host was given a work. The inhabitants of worlds were on probation. It was the joy of angels to minister to and teach other creatures of the universe. The law of love was everywhere written. It was the constant study of the heavenly beings. Each thought of God was taken by them, and as they saw the workings of his plans, they fell before the King of Kings, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Eternity was all too short to reveal his love. The Father and Son were often in council. Wrapped together in that glory, the universe awaited the expression of their one will. As one of the covering cherubim, Lucifer stood the first in power and majesty of all the angelic host. His eye beheld, his ear heard. He knew of all except the deep counsels which the Father, from all eternity, had purposed in the Son. Christ, the Word, the only begotten of God, was one with the Eternal Father, one in nature, in character, in purpose, the only being that could enter into all the counsels and purposes of God. The Father wrought by His Son in the creation of all heavenly beings. By Him were all things created, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Angels are God's ministers, radiant with the light ever flowing from His presence and speeding on rapid wing to execute His will. But the Son, the anointed of God, the express image of His person, the brightness of His glory, upholding all things by the word of His power, holds supremacy over them all. Lucifer, son of the morning, who sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, every precious stone was thy covering. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He who had hovered over the throne of God, who had stood on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and walked up and down among those living stones, each flashing with electric brightness the glory of reflected light, looked upon the council and envied the position of the Son. Hitherto, all eyes had turned instinctively toward the center of light. A cloud, the first one known, darkened the glory of the covering cherub. Turning his eyes inward, he reasoned that he was wronged. Had not he, Lucifer, been the bearer of light and joy to worlds beyond? Why should not his might be recognized? Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Thou hast said in thine heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." While Lucifer thus reasoned, Christ, wrapped within the glory of the Father, was offering his life for the world at its creation. Sin had not yet entered, the world was not yet created, but as the plans were laid, the Son had said, "Should sin enter, I am, from this time, one with those we now create, and their fall will mean my life on earth. Never has my heart gone out for any creation as I put it into this. Man in his earthly home shall have the highest expression of our love, and for him my love demands that I lay my life beside his in his very creation. O wondrous gift! O unselfish love! How could that covering cherub, at the moment when the Son of God laid down his life, plan on his own exaltation? Sorrow, the first sorrow that was ever known, filled heaven. The angel choir was silent, the living stones withheld their shining. The stillness was felt throughout the universe. An offer was made to return, but pride now closed the channel. Pity and admiration for the leader of the hosts led many to feel that God was unjustly severe. The universe was on trial. Satan and his sympathizers were striving to reform the government of God. They wished to look into his unsearchable wisdom and ascertain his purpose in exalting Jesus and endowing him with such unlimited power and command. Those who before, inspired by love, took God at his word and found their highest pleasure in watching the revealings of his love, now put their own minds in place of God's word and reasoned that all was wrong. The unfoldings of his love, which had meant their very life, now looked but darkness and despair. God's wisdom, darkened by placing self between the throne and them, became foolishness. All the heavenly host were summoned to appear before the Father to have each case decided. About the throne gathered the holy angels, a vast unnumbered throng, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, the most exalted angels as ministers and subjects, rejoicing in the light that fell upon them from the presence of the Deity. The principles of God's government were now laid bare. It was nothing but a great, broad system of educational development. And angelic hosts then and there decided whether faith in his word would be the standard of their obedience or whether finite reason would bear sway. Even Satan himself was almost won as the notes of praise resounded through the domes of heaven, but again pride ruled. Here was born the rival system, supreme selfishness facing the utter self-forgetfulness of Christ, reason over against faith. After long pleadings and amidst deep mourning, heaven's portals opened to close forever upon the one who, with his followers, turned from light into the darkness of despair. A new era was ushered in. A controversy was begun. High heaven, with its eternal principles of love, life, progress, was challenged by a subtle foe, the father of lies. Deep as is the misery attending the step, yet coexistent with the downward move, was formulated the plan which, after the lapse of ages, will prove in a greater degree and manifest eternally the truth that God is love. The pathway is the way of the cross. It is a retracing of the mental degradation occasioned by the fall, but the process is according to the law of the school of heaven, according to your faith. If you believe, all things are possible.